This is the e-learning podcast, episode number 31.
Very new. There was also a lot of stakeholders involved. So there was a lot of fingers in the pie. So being able to manage that as well was also something that became another unexpected challenge, shall we say, that came in.
Welcome to the e-learning podcast from lmspulse.com. My name is Stephen Laddick, and I'm the director at LMS Pulse. Tell me if this is familiar to you. Your organization adopts a piece of tech, usually a learning app, with super excitement and lots of optimism. Then they realize it might need more attention than anybody at your team has, and it slowly fades out of everyone's priorities. And as a result, the e-learning becomes orphaned and deprioritized. My guest today is Julian Davis. He describes himself as a learning solutions architect, although in the story he's about to tell you, you might want to think of people like him as an edtech foster parent. This time we have a case study for you that's actually the basis for an article Julian wrote called Soufflé Out of Mud. In the article and this conversation, he sets the scene to walk us through the ways he turned around a discouraging technology setup into a wow solution for his client. In this super exciting conversation, Julian and I talk about mud pies. Children love making them, but being given one and expecting to create an amazing learning experience might not be quite as fun, right? We also talk about why a mud pie is almost never just a mud pie. There's mud pie user and mud pie deliverables and mud pie backwards compatibility, and of course, mud pie stakeholders, right? We also talk about why it's much better to innovate by trying out, or better, allowing yourself to try new things on your regular work than waiting for a director with a dozen priorities to give you the go-ahead for a groundbreaking idea, right? We also talk about why it's also important to find the big button and make any new development as relevant as possible for the organization and their leaders. Once they'll get it, believe me, they will want more. And then finally, we talk about Julian's thoughts on various e-learning technologies like XAPI, of course, Articulate, Learning Locker, CMI5, and whether or not SCORM is finally becoming a bad word. And of course, don't miss Julian's article, which is called Soufflé Out of Mud, an XAPI Challenge, over at his website. And you can find that link in the blog post or in the comments below. But before we get started, a quick word from our sponsors.
The e-learning podcast is sponsored by the e-learning Success Summit. Learn from more than 40 experts how to teach, work, and learn online without being overwhelmed. Get your free ticket to the summit at elearningsuccesssummit.com. And lmspulse.com, your best source for news, information, and resources for e-learning professionals for more than 10 years. Get our free roundup of the week's top news at lmspulse.com.
Hello, Julian. How are you doing today?
Hi, Stephen. I'm well. How are you?
I'm wonderful. So I know where you are, but tell everybody who's listening now, where are you sitting today?
Sitting in Brisbane, Australia. Lovely, sunny winter's day.
Yeah, there it is. I love that because, you know, where I'm sitting right now in Colorado, it is the summertime. And so wrapping my head around the fact that you're on the other side of the globe, I don't know. It's still a hard thing for me to do. I hope that tomorrow is a wonderful day.
it is.
I know you well. You know, we had a great time because you gave us a wonderful presentation at the e-learning Success Summit on XAPI, which I encourage everybody to go get their free ticket to the e-learning Success Summit and actually watch your presentation, because it schooled me, that's for sure. Showed some real practical realities about that, and that's what we want to talk about today. But tell me first, you know, introduce yourself to the people who haven't seen your presentation over there. What is a digital learning solutions architect, and kind of what have you been doing for the past 3 or 4 years?
So digital learning solutions architect is I like to go into businesses and organizations that their digital learning is very jaded. It's all over the place. Lots of orphan products. Have a look at it, bring it all together and make it a seamless ecosystem, for want of a better term. And XAPI is very much a key part in that. So I got involved in XAPI about 5 years ago. I just stumbled across it looking for some sort of learning analytics, and just I got to know how powerful this thing actually can be. So I've been a real advocate for it for the last 4 or 5 years. Now involved in the Australian XAPI user group, heavily involved in that, and we're doing some cohorts, and I've done a lot of presentations on different things, not just in learning, but how we can use XAPI and how it can really change the way businesses operate from both learning and otherwise.
And you just leave that little cherry out there for sure. I love it. The reason I wanted to have you on the podcast is because you wrote this blog post called Soufflé Out of Mud, which, yes. I mean, I've got kids. They make mud pies. So they've never had a soufflé. But tell us about what that is. And, I know it kind of goes through a whole arc. It's a very focused case study about working with a client. But take us through the beginning of that. Like, what was the inspiration for the post? And we'll go from there.
It's Soufflé Out of Mud. So I was told that this is the solution and this is the ingredients. It's like, oh my God, okay. So hence the reason. I think I was out riding one day on my motorbike and I just came up with souffle out of mud, and it just like, right, that's it. I think that's going to work. So.
Nice. So tell us about what was the challenge?
So the challenge was with COVID coming in, the landscape had changed dramatically. And what I was asked to do was, we had a face-to-face course that had a paper assessment. And the idea was that the assessment needed to be online and delivered through the learning management system and be able to capture all the information that the student was entering. So what questions, whether it was right or whether it was wrong, what the final result was, the student had to have... there was a definitive set of rules around what they could and couldn't do as far as passing. If they got less than a certain percentage, they got one other go. If they got more than a certain percentage, they did what was called a green inking process, which they could go through and review and only answer the questions they got wrong. So it was quite a complicated outcome that was required. So that was the challenge that was thrown at me.
Okay. And they had chosen to take this online before COVID happened, or this was a specific response?
No, this was COVID pushed it. So COVID really, really pushed this problem that they had, which is a little bit of a blessing, because the solution for me was always going to be XAPI. It was just how I was going to do it. So now I had a platform to be able to demonstrate what this technology can do. So I saw it as an opportunity.
And so is this particular client, were they already savvy and had other things online, or was this their first toe dip into?
No. They've been online for quite a long time. Their learning management system was also quite dated. So that proved to be another challenge. So I had to work around that. The learning management system doesn't support XAPI. So there throws another complicated matter into it. So it only really supported SCORM.
So was the challenge was it the client? Was it the technology? Was it what?
It was the technology. It was a combination of both. It was what the expectation was. We just need this. Just go ahead and do it. And then the next challenge was the technology that was to host it. So that those two things together turned out to be, they were my mud that I had to come up with the souffle with. So
you have a client who's willing, but who's also being forced into a position where they got to get something online. They've been online, but they've got an outdated system of technology, and they're like, make a miracle. What did you come up with?
Pretty much. So I was presented with the paper version of the assessment and opted to use Articulate. So Articulate gives me a little bit of flexibility when it comes to developing something, and I can push that out in SCORM. I had written a JavaScript library that allows me to send XAPI statements within SCORM. It's a lot of work though, because it's all a manual trigger. So every trigger, every event that you have within Articulate, you also need to send off this XAPI statement as well. So for every answer within a question, so if you have a question that has 8 checkbox answers, each of those has to have an XAPI statement against it. So the work was actually quite challenging.
Okay.
It took a while to actually get through. I think from memory, there was about 30 questions or something. So it was quite a lot of statements that were actually being sent. Aside from that, I was also sending the launched and when they started it, when they completed it. So we're sending that completed as well. Within the learning management system actually did not allow the capturing of the score to be able to determine the rules of whether they can actually redo the assessment again. So that all had to be built into Articulate as well. So there was quite a challenge in that respect to be able to do that.
And what kind of lift is this? Is this, I mean, 30 question assessment? And if you wouldn't mind, are you able to give us a hint, like what industry is this? Is this railroad is this?
It's in the rail industry.
Oh, okay. Lucky guess. I don't know why that was the first thing out of my head, but there you go. And then, so a 30 question assessment, is that, you know, you're saying it's pretty heavy lift. Is this, you know, you working solo over a week, over a month, over 6 months?
The final solution, having stakeholders engaged and having feedback, et cetera. And being very new, there was also a lot of stakeholders involved. So there was a lot of fingers in the pie. So being able to manage that as well was also something that became another unexpected challenge, shall we say, that came in. So
you had this 30 question assessment. Was it a day of work? You know, you said there's a ton of work behind it, and so I'm assuming it's more than a day. But is this a week? Is this a month? And what were, you know, was the challenge just sort of translating the assessment into an online format through Articulate, or?
Yeah, well, it was pretty much that. It was getting the paper version onto electronic. That side of it was actually relatively easy. We mixed up the questions, used some drag and drop questions. All up, it probably took, from start to finish to the final product and having people using it, was about a month. One of the longest parts was actually stakeholder engagement. So every time, it's demonstrated to me something I've always considered, which is people don't know what they want until they get it. And when you give it to them, they always want more. So having to manage that was also an unexpected challenge that came in as well.
And so when you say they wanted more, so you put this assessment into Articulate and you kind of showed it to them. They're like, oh, wow, this is awesome. Could we also do this? And is that a factor of they didn't know it was possible before? They just hadn't taken the time to really think about it and dissect it and say, these are all of the things we want, or they just didn't even know it was possible?
I think they knew it was possible, but they couldn't see it. They couldn't visualize it. Mm. And it was also not relevant to them. So they may have been able to do other courses in the past, but until something is relevant to them, they don't realize what they want. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of what I call adult learning principles 101. You make it relevant to the adult, they'll actually be more engaged than what they are if it's not relevant. And as soon as they becomes relevant to them, they'll get it and then they'll want more.
Mm-hmm. And now up to this point right now, I was actually kind of surprised to hear you use Articulate and SCORM. Those are, you know, SCORM's kind of becoming a bad word, at least in the circles we talk with, right? And the presentation you gave over in the eLearning Success Summit was very focused on H5P. So
yes.
Is XAPI, just break it down for me for a second. XAPI, plays well with SCORM
it can. There are products out there that will plug straight in. There are some of the vendors out there that do that. There are a number of us out there that are doing it. Devlin Peck was another gentleman who you had on eLearning Success Summit and watched his presentation, which was pretty cool. We are similar mindsets. Is we're using this technology to bridge the gap in the older technology. SCORM is, when this product called CMI5 comes on, that's going to change the world. There's a lot of catching up to do on that yet. And that's for another day.
You can't tease me like that. I feel a little silly. That what is CMI5? Just give me a teaser.
CMI5 is basically combining SCORM and XAPI. So it uses the foundation is the framework of SCORM, and there are some reserved words that are used within some reserved verbs that are used from XAPI that communicate with the LMS, but at the same time it also allows to communicate the XAPI data out to an LRS as well.
Oh, wow.
So the CMI you would publish from an e-learning authoring tool as a CMI5 product.
Okay, fantastic. I think that sounds like we're going to have another conversation in about 6 months.
All right. Yeah, I think we might.
So you came in, and did you set up the LRS for them? Did you set up, you put everything in Articulate? Did you like build the entire ecosystem for them? And then
with the exception of the LMS, the LMS had already been in place for a very long time. So I did build this ecosystem in a sense. The learning record store was there from other projects that have been worked on, that have been trialed, but it had never been adopted as an actual solution. And I come back to the point of now it was relevant. So it was relevant to a lot of key stakeholders of what this thing could do. So now it got pushed to the forefront. So because of COVID, it's been a little bit of a godsend, and it's enabled me to fast track the solution in, or fast track XAPI in, and demonstrate what it can do, where it's been around for in the organization for 12 months or so.
So who had the biggest aha moment? Was it the head of learning and development? Was it the person who is the head of this particular department that did this assessment, or that required this assessment? Was it some other leadership position? Like, where did that, you said that, you know, it opened eyes because it became relevant to the adult learner. Like, where, you know, take me through those different personalities.
They're quite varied. Some have been in the rail industry for a long time. Some have been in learning for a short time, for a long time. There is a certain culture in this industry of a lot of face-to-face type training. So there was multiple aha moments. Mm-hmm. And what it came out of was they couldn't see what was happening in the background. And the LRS that we were using was Learning Locker. Now, LRSs are fantastic, but they're not, to the average person, they can be quite complicated to use. So with this particular product, there was going to be, the idea was, is that there an assessor who was assessing this particular person needed to be able to see what the results were and export those in Excel. So mm-hmm. they could then have a competency conversation with them if need be because of the answers that they got wrong. That was the whole crux of it. So I developed an interface that sits within their own SharePoint environment that allows you to search for a student and then displays all the answers in a very, very simple table with the ability to export to Excel. Mm. When I demonstrated that, there were lots of aha moments. It was like, oh my God, this is so easy. Not understanding the underpinning framework that's sitting beside it. So, but it's, and I color coded things and I put charts in, and then it became, wow, this is really powerful. So can we do this? And can we do that? And can we do this? And can we do that? And I also took it as an opportunity that something that Devlin had talked about in his presentation way back was the ability to capture comments. And I thought, you know what, that is a brilliant little idea, because now what I've done is I've added a star rating at certain points throughout the assessment. It's like a Google rating, and people can provide feedback. That feedback is stored in XAPI, which also comes up on the final product. So you're getting immediate feedback on an assessment as opposed to getting a feedback form survey at the end. It's after they've done it. It's not during it. So you're actually getting more relevant feedback, and that's now being used as well. So that was a little bit of a, I threw that in because I hadn't really considered it, and it's turned out to be brilliant. We're getting really constructive feedback, so we can make changes very quickly.
I was saying, and this is feedback from the assessee, the person who's being assessed.
Yeah, this is the person who's actually doing it.
Like, this question doesn't make sense, or, you know, this needs to be more relevant because these parts don't actually go together. Like, what kind of, or is it just simply a 3-star, 4-star?
Some are just doing the 3-star, 4-star, 5-star, and then I get an average of that and display that. Some are actually providing comments saying that this question was ambiguous. When we first started it, there was a question that was ambiguous with multiple answers, and we got that feedback in, which we were then able to go and revisit the question, rewrite the question to make it less ambiguous. We getting feedback saying this particular link doesn't work anymore. Great. So we can go in and have a look at that. So that immediate feedback allows us to go in and change it very, very quickly.
Awesome. So what's been obviously there's been a lot of, it seems like there's been a lot of excitement at your client about this thing coming online. Is there another tangible outcome that's come from it other than, wow, we see what's possible? Are they seeing, you know, better success rate, better adoption rates, you know, things like this coming from the SSEs, or what other outcomes have you seen?
So I'm now looking at bringing this into more products now. So I'm looking at putting it into a product that has videos in it, so we can see when they've paused to play the video, so we can actually see if the video is working. And it's very early days with the data that we're getting, but people are getting excited. One of the biggest things we have is, due to the infrastructure, sometimes people will time out on course. So what's been a bonus out of this is that we've been adding it to some other smaller projects as we're going along. And one of those was I've added it to a project that had a video in it. So we're actually able to find out when people are pausing and playing the video. Mm-hmm. So we can start to see whether the videos are any good, whether they're actually working, whether somebody's pausing it, going away, having a coffee, coming back. We can start to grab that type of information. The other important thing that's coming is that the LMS can sometimes be quite unstable because it is a little bit dated, and people will sometimes crash. We can find out where they're up to within the course. We also send a completed statement at the end of it. So if someone says, hey, I completed the course, but it's not updating in the LMS, we can go into the LRS and say, oh, yes, you did. You completed it on Friday at 2:00. So, yes, we agree. We'll mark that off as being completed, which our LMS administrators are finding very beneficial.
Is there any pushback from the assessees that this is a little too big brother, that you know too much, that you're tracking too much, any of that kind of stuff?
No, not really. There was probably the biggest pushback is change, is this is new. This is not the way we've always done it. So to have it new is that's the biggest change that I've noticed. Future things that I'd like to do with this is the ability for when they've downloaded the Excel file as the and had the competency conversation, they can upload it back against into the LRS so that record is kept with the student in the LRS. That's the next phase of where I want to take this to.
And that would just be they would just take that Excel document that they've put comments into, and they can just
and they just upload it, and then it's able to be downloaded from a historical purpose at any time.
Super cool. So is there now, with this great aha that's come out of this simple assessment, so to speak, is this client now like, wow, are they now identifying new areas for this to be done in? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. There's quite a lot of, I mean, it's a large organization, and there's several people that are now adopting it and using it, and they can really, really see the benefit of it, which is.
So I've always been a big fan of what I call big button solutions. And that just comes from my experience for the last 25 years working with, in technology and working with developers. What tends to happen, or what I found tends to happen, is that we develop these solutions that are super complicated, right? Lots of menu items, lots of places to go, very convoluted, structure about how to get to where you want to go. And it's never really, I think this is where, I hate to say it, but, Apple and some of these other companies have really figured it out. Design is a key piece. That, hey, you touch it and it works, or you plug it in and it works. And so it sounds to me like you've created something like that for this company, because you were talking about there's a lot of change involved, right? And so if you had shown up and given them something that was really complex and difficult, it probably would have fallen on deaf ears and they would have been, no thanks. And so my question is that an intuitive piece? Do you think about design and bring that into your learning development when you're thinking about XAPI and when you're thinking about these reports that you'll be able to put in? Is that something that you've just built up over experience? Is there an art form there? Where does that come from so that you wowed your client?
It was you got to know your client. And I must say that it's been an iterative process. Is that the first one that I developed is not what it looks like now. It's matured. As we've gotten feedback, it's matured. And what I was doing was displaying every statement, everything that came through. And that can be quite a complicated long table. So I started to group them together, and you got the question, and then you can expand the question to get the results, whether they were right or wrong. So that does use that big button theory, in the sense that you get a row and you just press one button to see the result. Right. So you toggle. Close them. So, and I simplified a drop-down menu, simplified checkboxes. I tried to minimize the amount of clicks that they have to use to get to what they want.
All right. That's good to know.
And it just comes from experience. Yeah.
All right. That was really the essence of where I wanted to get to. Was it this iterative process? Was it something where you took it away and you said, look, let's go to maybe it's a one-man design team, and then you came back with a product? Or was it really this working together with the client to get where you wanted to be, basically?
There was some working with the client as well. And they would come back and say, oh, this is a little clunky. Is there anything we can do? And then we would just nut it out, and we would come up, and I would say, well, what if we did it this way? What if we did it that way? And then just came up with a couple of solutions, and finally fell on one that worked. I had a range of buttons across the top, which were to export as Excel and to print. We moved them to a drop-down list. It reduced the amount of space on the page, or increased the amount of space, I should say, and kept it simple. And it was obvious to what it did as well. And that's probably the big thing. It was the obvious. To get to where you wanted to be was obvious.
Fantastic.
I also put a tour in. We also put a tour in as well. So right at the beginning, it stepped through a 5-place tour that actually took you through each one. And that was my idea to do that, to try and reduce the amount of help that people are going to be required, because they step through the tour and then it's done.
So what we've talked about is a solution that was, you know, it was ready. It was ripe to be, you know, for this company to have it on the table, but COVID pushed it over the edge that we need to get this done now. We now have an elegant solution that kind of has been arrived at through iteration. What's the next big challenge? Like, is there a next moment for this particular piece? Is it going to be implementing this, you know, this type of XAPI, SCORM, et cetera, type of solution for other clients? What do you see coming down the road?
Potentially, yes. I wrote the interface of what the end product will be in such a way that you've only got to change three things and you can connect to another LRS to pull up the information. So it's quite, I wanted that. I wanted to have the simplicity there, because the client's going to require more and more independent LRS stores to be able to connect to. So to pull the data out was just a matter of minutes. It really was very, very simple. It can be improved. It can be, there's so much more. The sky's the limit on what you can actually do. The data's there. It's just what you want to do with it and how you want to present it. That's the big one, is how you're going to present it. So it will be used on larger products coming up. I've been asked to put it into there's a 2.5-hour product that we have that they want to put it into. And that won't capture everything, but it will allow us to capture where people have been to in their process, and we can start to measure how long it actually took for people to do things and start to get some more meaningful information out of it, which is it's quite exciting, because it's an unknown.
Well, you know, Julian, I thank you so much for taking us through this solution today. One of the things I love about it the most is it's a bright spot in the COVID conversation, right? I mean,
thank you. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's
cool. We even started our conversation with, you know, it's kind of crazy in Australia right now. Let's look for the bright spots, and this is definitely one of them. So thank you so much for presenting it today, and I really appreciate you having it on the show.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the eLearning Podcast. If you like what you've learned today in this episode, I encourage you to either follow us or subscribe to us on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube. And please do share this episode with one or two of your colleagues or friends. Also, I just want to remind you that you can level up your online learning game with all of the information that's available at the eLearning Success Summit. You can get your free ticket at elearningsuccesssummit.com. And finally, you can also stay up to date on everything that's important, all the news and the resources for e-learning professionals at lmspulse.com. Get our free newsletter by just going to lmspulse.com today. Thanks again.